Going to talk about an open heaven, an open heaven. And I have looked at this in God's word and just want to talk to you today about how that God delights in blessing his people. Amen. Don't that sound good? How God delights in blessing his people. Amen. You'll see this principle a number of places in the Old Testament. At least four places in the book of Deuteronomy where the scripture lays out very clearly that God wants to bless his people. Of course, in Deuteronomy, it's talking directly to Israel and to the Jewish nation. But we know that as born-again Christians, we have been adopted into the family. All those blessings become ours too because of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in the Lord. Let's read here in Deuteronomy 28 and verse number 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Praise God. That first verse provides the condition for God blessing his people. If you will observe and do his commandments, if you pay attention to the commandments of God and you obey them, then you've met the condition to be blessed of the Lord. Now, then he describes some details about the blessing. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So it starts with the condition and then ends that section about the blessing of the Lord, also reminding us of the condition to hearken unto the words of the Lord, to obey his word. And when we do, we can expect that we are going to be receiving God's blessing upon our life. Now, I know that when you start talking about blessing, people immediately start talking about, thinking about, does that mean a lot of money? Does that mean a lot of financial prosperity? It really means that God's blessing, the blessing of the Lord upon your life, is a promise of God. And the details are each one of us specific to our circumstance, our needs, our situation, our own mind, our own heart, who we are as a person. God knows all about that, and he works in us individually. But you can be sure that God will bless you. Amen. He will bless you. Amen. The blessing of the Lord upon your life really is just the realizing of the power of God at work in your life, in every area of your life. There's no area of your life that God is not involved and right in the big middle of it. We don't have a separate spiritual life from our secular life. Our whole life, every part of our life belongs to the Lord. We're to observe and we are to obey the commandments of the Lord. We're to work, walk in his ways. And we do, we can expect that God's power and presence is going to be right there involved in everything that you're doing. God is going to be at your side. God is going to be on your side. God is going to be fighting your battles for you. He's going to be for you. He's going to be behind you. He's going to be keeping you. He is going to be sustaining you in every step of the way. You can believe the promise of God. That means in your work, your family, in your health, in your finances, in your relationships, in your ministry, and on the list goes. Every area of your life, you can expect that God will be with you. Amen. He's promised, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. You walk in my ways, and I'm going to be right there in the big middle of everything that's going on in your life. Amen. I could just stop right there, and we could all just say, praise God, that sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful to know that God cares and he wants to move and bless his people. Praise God. Now this goes all the way back in the Old Testament to Abraham. Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. His land was a godless pagan nation. But somehow God got Abram's attention and said, get up, get out of your homeland. And you go to a place, you just start going, and I'll lead you. So the Bible says that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham is the father of faith. He just believed God, and he obeyed God. And what's one of the conditions for the blessing of the Lord? Hearing his voice and obeying the voice of the Lord. And God promised Abraham, when you go out, when you begin to do what I command you to do, then I am going to provide for you. I am going to bless you. Genesis 28 and verse 3. And God Almighty will bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee. This is what God speaks to Abraham. And thou mayest be a multitude of people and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee. God has promised to Abraham, that's in Genesis chapter 12, that he is going to bless Abraham and he is going to use him mightily, and he's going to be the father of a great nation, and his seed is going to be like the stars of the heavens and like the sand of the sea. How could he have ever imagined or believed that? But he did. He did. He believed, and God then began to bless him. You can go through the scripture and you can see just again and again and again the places where God wants to open up the heavens and he wants to bless his people. Next, let's talk a little bit about Jacob. You remember Jacob. He was the deceiver, the supplanter. He was the one that deceived his father, Isaac. He stole away the birthright of his brother, Esau, and he had to run for his life, literally. And his father said, don't go to the land of the pagans. Don't take a wife of the heathen, but go to your family. Go to your mother's brother's house. And there, take a wife of his family. Don't go to the heathen. And so he left and he started out and he got tired. It was at night. He lays down, makes a pillow out of stones. Don't sound too comfortable. It kind of makes you think, that's probably why he had a dream. He's dreaming because he's so uncomfortable. But no, this was a spiritual dream. This was a dream that came to him from the Lord. And the Lord promised him. The Lord caused this man who was a supplanter and a deceiver to have a dream. He dreamed a dream that night, and behold, a ladder was set up from earth up to heaven. It reached into heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it unto thee and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In thy seed, and of course, that was a direct prophecy to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed because of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Glory to God. Behold, I am with thee. Verse 15, Genesis 28. I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. So Jacob has an encounter with the presence of God, and he has a dream. And in that dream, he sees some things that are in reality and helping him to understand that he has a connection to heaven, that the people of God have an open heaven, a connection to heaven. There was a ladder from earth to heaven, access to heaven. And on that ladder were angels ascending and descending, which lets us know that there are ministering spirits in this world who care about us. The angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear the Lord. Amen. So at work in this world are the angels of the Lord who encamp around you. They're always around. They're always with you. It's kind of like the president and the secretary of state and other high-ranking officials. They have their own private secret service that wherever they go, no matter what time of the day or night or where they go in the world, they are there. If you see them get off of a plane out on the tarmac of an airport, you can see out there's always a perimeter of these guys in black suits and sunglasses, and they are hired and they're trained to protect these people. It is their job. And the angels of the Lord have been dispatched from heaven for you and me to bless us by divine help and divine protection. Amen. That ladder was a type of Jesus himself, type of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have access through Jesus Christ to everything. All of heaven belongs to the saints of God. It's all ours because of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I read a verse that talks about the fact that heaven is literally overflowing with blessings. There's so much that heaven cannot contain all the blessings and the goodness of heaven. And it's like heaven is spilling out. There's so much available for the people of God that the blessings of the Lord are spilling out. And we have access to all these wonderful things that are ours, that are heavenly. Glory to God. Praise God. So that ladder was a type of Christ and helping us to understand that through Jesus Christ, we have access. We're seated with him in heavenly places. Because of Jesus Christ, we have access to all of the wonderful joys and the pleasures and the benefits and the blessings of heaven that are ours. Praise God. Amen. Here's the verse, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. Heavens cannot contain him, and all that God has for his people cannot be contained in heaven. So we here on earth, the people of God, it spills over on us here in this world. I do believe that we have access to God, and we have access to to heavenly things and to the glories of heaven and the benefits and the blessings of heaven. And from that, God wants to bless his people. Glory to God. I'll receive that. Someone said to me not too long ago, they said, brother, I just want you to know I feel like the Lord wants to bless you. And my only response to that was, praise God, I receive it in whatever form it comes in. I really don't care. What, however the blessing comes, I receive it and I believe it. I believe that God is a God who wants to bless his people if we are willing to put our complete trust in the Lord. There's a lot of examples in the scripture, and I don't have time to go through all of these wonderful examples that let us know that the heavens open up and we receive the benefit. We receive the blessing of the heavens opening up to the people of God. That God, now those that are in the world, those that are in sin, those that are away from God, they don't receive. As a matter of fact, when I was doing my, looking up different verses concerning heaven and the heavens opening up, I found as many verses about God bringing judgment and fury and a curse upon people who disobey the voice of the Lord. So it's a serious thing to ignore the will of God and what you know to be true. A lot of people are living in such a way, they know better than what they're doing. They know better than the life that they're living. They're living in disobedience to God. That's a dangerous place to be in. You or me or any of us, if we step in that direction to disobey the voice of the Lord, then we have all of the fury and the judgment of heaven against us. But when we obey the voice of the Lord, then we have God on our side. Amen. Praise the Lord. You read in 2 Kings chapter 6 and chapter 7 when there's the story of the enemy Syria has sieged Samaria. Samaria is surrounded by the armies of the Syrians. It's gone on for days and weeks to the point that now they've run out of food. They're starving to death. The whole economy has changed so much in Samaria that now the head of a donkey is worth a whole lot of money. Just a cab of dove's dung worth a whole lot of money. I'm talking about something that normally is not worth anything, that's now the people are starving to death. And the king hears about people in that very same city that are, disputing over the fact, well, we made an agreement, we would boil my son and eat him today if we could boil your son the next day. Let me tell you, desperation has set in Samaria. It's unspeakable, the horrible things that are happening there because of the starvation and what they're experiencing. Well, they sent to the prophet Elisha to see what he would say about the circumstance. I don't know if they wanted to really hear what he had to say or not. But here's what Elisha said. He said, well, I'm paraphrasing this now. He said, God will turn this around by tomorrow. God will change this by tomorrow. But tomorrow, the whole economy of Samaria will be completely back to normal. People will be selling things back to normal, everything. And it'll all be, of course, Elisha spoke those words and said, by tomorrow, at the same time, there are four lepers that are outside the city who know that they're not welcome inside the city. And if they know, if they go to the camp of the Syrians, they're probably going to die. So they said, well, why are we going to sit here till we die? Let's at least do something about it. And they start out in a walk of faith toward the camp of the Syrians. And God begins to fight the battle for them. Glory to God. And the Syrians are scared to death because they hear these great armies that are coming against them, and they run and flee the camp. And those four leprous men go into the camp of the Syrians, and they collect up all the food, and I'm sure they ate to their heart's content, and then they collected all this up and said, we can't just be selfish and keep this for ourselves. And they begin to go back to the city and tell them what's happened, and in one day's time, God has turned it around, just like Elisha says. But I want you to notice what Elisha said to the one man that was really the right-hand man of the king. It says he leaned upon on the king, what he spoke to him, and he said, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel. It was pretty much normal at that time. Two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose the king leaned answered the man of God and said, now this is a total sarcastic statement. It's like he's saying, oh yeah, right. That can't happen. That could never happen. And he says, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, this might happen. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Wow. Elisha spoke back to this man who was being sarcastic about what the prophet of God said. The prophet said, about this time tomorrow, the windows of heaven are going to open up and everything is going to be turned around, and God is going to bless this city that is right now in such a desperation that they're eating their own children. God can turn things around in one day. Amen. God can open up the windows of heaven and can turn the hearts of men in one day. He can do that. How does he do it? Well, the windows of heaven just open up. When heavens are opened up, then God can change the worst of circumstances in one day. I know some of you are dealing with a lot of hard things in your family. Maybe some of you are sick, dealing with a lot of different circumstances, and you don't know how that things could ever change. But I want you to know, if the heavens are opened to you, God can change it by Monday morning. Amen. The Lord could turn it around. And that man who was being sarcastic and faithless, he said, well, I don't see how this could ever happen. This could never turn around. And he said, maybe if windows in heaven. And he said, because you said that, you're going to see it, but you're not going to be able to, you're not going to eat one bite of the food. And here's the story. I'm just going to have to tell you because we don't have time to go through and read all this. That very man is standing at the gate when all these people begin flocking back into the city. And there's such a great number of them that he's trampled underfoot. He sees the food and the blessing of the food, just like the prophet said. But he was trampled to death in the gates. That's what it says. It's a serious thing to not believe God. It's a serious thing to not see that God wants to bless his people. Glory to God. He wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. One of the greatest blessings, of course, is the blessing of knowing who Jesus is. Knowing that Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. You say, well, that's normal. Everybody believes in Jesus. Oh, no. All around the world, there are thousands, even millions of people that don't know about him. And if they do, if they have heard about him, many of them have never really had an adequate witness of Jesus Christ. They don't really know very much at all. They don't know enough about him to truly put their faith and their trust in Jesus. Remember when Jesus, the Messiah, was introduced out there, when John the Baptist is baptizing, and Jesus comes down and says to John, you know, I need to be baptized of you. And John is appalled by that. No, I need to be baptized of you. You're the Messiah. But Jesus lets him know, no, this is my plan. This is my will. Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. This was the beginning. This was the introduction of Christ as the Messiah. Amen. The heavens were opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This was the introduction, the entering in of the ministry of Jesus, the Messiah. And he was being introduced by God out of the heavens when the heavens opened up. And he speaks and declares, this is my Son. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And now all the families of the earth can be blessed because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The heavens have been opened and you and I can know who Jesus is personally. We can be born again of the Spirit. Our lives can be transformed because of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's all because God opened up the heavens and provided the message of hope through Jesus Christ to every one of us. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 2, we've talked quite a lot about the Pentecostal experience and the day of Pentecost. But the Bible says it was on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Where does this Pentecostal baptism come from? Heaven. Glory to God. A sound of a rushing in that came rushing into that place, and it came from its heavenly source. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God was poured out on that day, on the day of Pentecost. And that Pentecostal experience then became an experience for the New Testament church. This was actually the birthday of the New Testament church, of which you and I are a part of even today. It hasn't passed away, but we still enjoy the blessing of heaven in our salvation and in our Pentecostal baptism. Glory be to God. God wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. Glory to God. I don't have time to get into Malachi chapter 3 where it talks about, you know, the tithe and when you pay your tithes and how, you know, there's a whole section there in Malachi chapter 3. And he says, when you do this, you obey the Lord and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. He says, the windows of heaven will open. Hallelujah. Amen. And I will pour out a blessing. How big is it going to be? Too great for you to contain it. That's how God's blessings are. They're greater than you can even contain. What will those blessings be? It'll involve every area of your life. That's how God blesses. God blesses in every area of your life, your family, your home, your marriage, your job, your business, your finances, your health, every area of your life. God wants to be right there in the big middle of it, and he wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. Glory to God. So I suggest pay your tithes, give offerings, open up the windows of heaven, believe the word of God, act upon God's word, and when you do, then you enjoy all of these wonderful blessings that come to us pouring out of heaven, overflowing out of heaven for the people of God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not into the prosperity doctrine. I'm talking about the extremism that sometimes is preached and taught in some groups, you know, that God wants you to have all of this, you know, these worldly goods. And if you don't have a Rolls Royce, then you're living under your privilege. I don't believe any of that. I don't believe that. But I do believe that God is the God of blessing. And that God wants to bless you as a child of God. That's just the nature of God. That's who God is. He's done it all the way back from Abraham, the father of faith, down through the generations. He's promised his people, I will bless you. I will open up heaven to you. I will pour out a blessing upon you. I will save you. I will baptize you in the Spirit. I will work in your life. I will be with you constantly and always there to provide for you in every area of need. And we live so far beneath our privilege. Amen. Wednesday night I told you about a fellow that I read about. His name was John Hughes. John lived in Dublin, Ireland, and he worked in the early days of his life, but when the last 30 some years of his life, he stopped working. All he did was he rode his bicycle around the city, and he checked for coins and payphones and in vending machines. He ate at community centers for free. He wore the same clothes all the time. He lived his life like a homeless man, like a pauper, like he had nothing. But when he died at age 73, they found that he owned two homes in Dublin, and he had more than $1 million in savings. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if he had a mental breakdown. I don't know what happened in his life. I just know he lived all those 37 years so far beneath his privilege. And that's like you and me, the saints of God, and the word of God, and the promises of God, and all that God's made available to us if we will meet the condition. Pay attention to what God says and obey it. Just live according to the will of the Lord. And then he says, I'm going to bless you. Amen. And what he says in Deuteronomy, four different places, he said, I'm going to bless you in every area of your life. I'm going to bless you in your house and outside of your house. I'm going to bless you in the city and when you go out in the country. I'm going to bless you in everything that you do, in your family and in all that you have. I am going to always be there providing this blessing. What is the blessing of the Lord? It's just God's presence with you. It's just him with you all the time, helping you in every situation that you face from day to day. And for those of you that are really going through something that's a big crisis in your life, let me just remind you that God can turn your situation in one day. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. He can do it in one day. How? Well, let's ask the Lord, Lord, would you open up the windows of heaven in my situation, Lord? Would you reveal your mighty hand? Would you move for me, your child? I belong to you, Lord, and I'm asking you to move in my life and in my situation. Praise the Lord.